the Lord will open your eyes of understanding, that the Lord will speak to you, that the Lord will enlighten you, that the Lord will give you the blessing he has in store for you today. No doubt the Lord has a blessing for us. Let's open our mouth and pray. Pastor, please, you can take it.
In Jesus' name we pray. Brethren, please confirm if you can hear me. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, thank you very much. Amen. For the comment. We'll continue to pray. It's a very good prayer we've made as we commenced, that the Lord will touch us. Chances are, because you are familiar with the content, they may want to be the development of, you know, I've had that before. I potentially could preach that better. You know, that feeling, you know, it makes us not to get the very best. We want to pray that the Lord will take every familiarity with his word that would make you not to be able to get the very best. That as the word of God comes through, the Lord will bless us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Our Lord in heaven, we want to thank you so much for the privilege of little feet. We want to thank you for the grace for work, for those who work today, and the opportunity to come to your presence to be revived. We pray as we go into this session of what you have for us, open our eyes upon understanding and bless us yourself in Jesus. At the end of the day, we want to be so inspired, such that we will go to obey every single injunction that will come to us as a result of this message in Jesus' name. We thank you as always, you have heard us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And the people of God say,
Amen.
Thank you so very much. Brother, let's do it so. For some reason, if my voice becomes a bit faint or inaudible, just alert me. Or for some reason, you can't see my screen. Today, by the grace of God, we want to very quickly look at what the Lord has in store for us. And the title is Witnessing in Season and Out of Season. You know, the word witness, for example, you may be familiar. He has a very strong root in, for example, jurisprudence or justice system. For example, if a crime has happened now, it could be that somebody was around there and they noticed the precedent of events, what and what happened. In a bid to adjudicate justice and, you know, find lasting solution, it's not unusual that either the lawyer or whoever is trying to investigate, you like, look, do we have witness there? Do we have people who have a first-hand experience of what has happened? And, you know, that testimony, that giving of the word, that person who saw it is going to give, would eventually help them in investigating, or as the case may be. So you understand the word witness from that angle. It could be the noun form, which is, you know, you are the witness, being the person. But what we're looking at today is witnessing. It's a verb thing. It's an actual word. And it is not far-fetched from, you know, the word you have painted earlier. Actually, witnessing is, in the context we are to use it today, if you expressly, you know, proclaim your faith, that is witnessing. And it's not far-fetched from, you know, the example we gave earlier. Maybe you have witnessed an event and you want to corroborate it to give credibility or help investigators or lawyers, you know, to file up that case. For example, when Jesus was here, he had the disciples who saw him at a very close range. They saw everything from, you know, his humanity, and in fact, his divinity. How, you know, he fed 10,000, how indeed, you know, without any doubts, he was the Messiah. And after they were gone, Jesus promised he was going to give the Holy Spirit. And he said they are going to be witnesses unto him. I'm going to marry both things together, like somebody giving an account of what he has seen. The disciples have seen Jesus Christ. And eventually, when the Holy Spirit came, through the instrumentalism of persecution, they were flung all across the place, testifying and witnessing about what they have seen. In a nutshell, what we want to look at today is how, by the grace of God, we would not be ashamed to express publicly our faith, to preach to others. And the last part of our topic says, in season and out of season. What that means is that, you know, in the process of declaring your faith, it could be that something will necessitate you to express your faith even when it's not convenient. And we have, you know, examples in the scriptures about people that they gave wonderful witnessing. They preached the gospel, some at the very expense of their life. Long story short, brethren, what we want to look at today is, number one, we establish the fact why we must preach the gospel. Let people know. You don't know what you have, as in the power of what you know and have, how it can be of tremendous help to others, and how we are able to do that freely. And also to tell us that it can also come, you know, with great cost, which means today, by the grace of God, as we look at the pages of the scriptures, we'll make up our mind that if it's convenient or otherwise, if the opportunity seemed favorable or otherwise, whether, you know, we are welcome or the situation seems unwelcome, we still regardless preach the gospel as the Lord has commanded us. So in a nutshell, you begin to understand that when we say witnessing in and out of season, it's something, number one, that is very, very rewardable if we do it faithfully. And the Lord expects us to, you know, just go on to witness to others in season, if it's convenient, and out of season. I pray the Lord will help us indeed in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 1, that very popular verse, there we can see something about the Lord commissioning us, so to say. Actually, it's an offshoot of the promise of the power we're going to receive. And thankfully, every believer here who has the Holy Spirit has got the power. And that power is not for showmanship. That power is not to, you know, randomly be among friends and begin to speak in tongues just to show that you have the Holy Ghost. But it is for something. Please, I read from here. He said, but ye shall receive power. Amen. After that, Holy Ghost is come upon you. And what will happen to you, brethren? He said, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of earth. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ promising, number one, power. And what the power needs to be used for. We see the Lord calls and commissions us to be his witnesses. And I pray we are going to heed the call. We are going to be faithful and committed to the call, regardless of seeming cares and concerns that may be trying to frustrate the call. And as we are committed, the Lord will compensate us adequately in Jesus' name. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, now Jesus has left the stage. There is a father-son, spiritual father-son relationship between Timothy and Paul the apostle. Just as, you know, Jesus told his disciples as to what they have to do after the power has come, the same thing from the mentor to the mentee, from the father in the Lord to the son in the Lord, Timothy was telling, Paul was telling Timothy as to what he has to do. 2 Timothy chapter 4, again, permit me to read from here. I'll read from verse 2. The Bible says, preach the word. That's another way to say, be a witness. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. That instant means be ready. You know, you should just be saturated with the word, that wherever the opportunity comes, it could be most unlikely place. You know, by the grace of God, the Lord is not constrained as to the opportunity as to where to preach the word. It could be like the case of you know, Philip the evangelist and a religious person coming and reading. You know, it doesn't seem the most palatable place to preach the gospel. You know, Philip asked nonetheless, do you understand what you're reading? And from there, Bible says, he preached to him Jesus. So he said, be instant in season. He may be laughing. We could just be doing a coffee break. The opportunity came. be ready. He said, be instant. You know, you could be on your break at work. It could even be a totally secular thing you are discussing. But in a way, discussion goes around, you know, preaching. He said, be instant, be ready in season and out of season. And he goes on to give example of what Timothy should do as the pastor of the place he has. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I pray we'll be that ready. We'll be that instant. We'll be that alert. That whenever the opportunity comes, we seize it. It is convenient, we seize it. It doesn't seem to be the likely place to preach. The opportunity comes, we preach. It's favorable or unfavorable, we preach it. You know, thing is, as that goes on, we begin to develop this skin. I mean, my word. You know, when we go out for corporate evangelism sometimes, you know, approach somebody, they are not that welcoming. That says, the instant. Do it regardless. They say, hey, Kitos, when you offer this track, don't worry, go ahead and do it. And that is that kind of, you know, witnessing God wants to have. Develop that thick skin. Be ready, be instant soon. Tell anybody who wants to know about your faith. And I pray God will make us to be that kind of people who are ready, unashamedly, to publicly declare our faith in Jesus' name. As usual, we're going to divide our teaching in sub-headings, but we're going to do it unusually so in four sub-headings. Number one is the call and commission of forgiven witnesses. The goal in this point is to tell you that God is calling out. We saw what he did with the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he told them that he will receive power. And thereafter, you are going to be witness unto me. Chances are, you know, New Testament believers to misconstrue that in Georgia, well, that was for the immediate disciples. Me, I'm end-time disciples, and it doesn't concern me. So this, the goal in this to show that every believer is called and is commissioned to be a witness. I pray the Lord will help us indeed in Jesus' name. At Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Please do us a favor. If you happen to get there, please read it for us.
Mark chapter 16. I read verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Amen. Thank you very, very much, Pastor. Now we see the injunction. And I want to make this clear. If there's nothing you took away from this meeting tonight, it is that this call to be witnesses is to all and sundry, provided you are born again. And why is this so? Because the tendency is me, I'm a small girl, though. I'm a small. Maybe select few. People who are, you know, maybe quote unquote eloquent, they have oratory capacity, they can talk, they are gifted. Maybe people who have, you know, they have studied to high level, multiple degrees. Those are the people who witness. No, this has got nothing to do with, you know, educational, racial, or professional background. It is.
Hello?
Pastor, you are off.
Please, let's be patient. I think the network is breaking. Pastor is back now. You're welcome, Pastor.
On stream. So as I was saying, this call is to all, regardless of your station in life, your educational accomplishment. The only provision is that you are born again. It is when you are born again that you are qualified. And it is for all, the young, the old, the little, everybody should be involved. For example, women should be involved. Children should be involved. How do I mean that women should be involved? In John chapter 4, verse 4, you know, the story of the woman at the well. The way she did her own witness was remarkable. After she was convinced at her encounter with Jesus, and she knew this is the Messiah that was promised. Regardless of the social at that time, being a Samaritan, you know, there were tension. They don't speak with the Jews and everything. But because of how she is.
Hello.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, thank you, Sam. So as I was saying, that this call is to all the women, the men, the young. The only criteria is that they need to be born again. And I was giving an instance of the woman as well. How, regardless of the social political tension around that time, being a Samaritan, you know, they were not to the Jews, but she was convinced about this is the Messiah that was promised. Now say she left her water pot, she went to the city, he told everybody, come and see you, I've seen the Messiah. That women, you know that you are also involved. For young ones, in the example in 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1, it was the story about that young maid. She was in a very uncomfortable situation. She had been taken captive, but she happened to be in the house of Naaman, you know. She knew the power of Jehovah God already from Israel. And, you know, all the good words that were said about our master, Naaman, as she was the military leader, very illustrious, accomplished military career. But he was a leper. But this young lady, this maid, she just said, oh, that somebody will tell my boss that there's a prophet in Israel who can heal her. She was a witness. She was a young woman, and she, a young lady. She didn't say that this should be for only the male. Our young one, my beloved brothers and sisters, in the children, the youth church, you can do a lot. And the Lord will use it in Jesus' name. But there is another caveat that needs to be said, that these people who are called to be witnesses, they themselves have to be forgiven. In the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 39, it talks about how a blind man cannot, you know, lead the blind. He said, both of them will fall to the dish. What are you going to witness about? Until and unless you have experienced something that is, you know, incontrovertibly different, like the woman at the well, what are you going to tell others? So that is why our point is the call and commission of forgiven witnesses. Only unless you are forgiven, you can't be a very good witness. Because as the Bible says, both of them will fall in a dish. There's something also we need to know about this call. This call and commission to witness for God is a privilege. How do I mean? This is God of all God. You know, he could have chosen to route the redemption plan some other way, but he chose the humble path, you know, to save us. And this is the God of God, God, Lord of God, commissioning us to work for him. You know how proud and accomplished you will be if you are offered in a very good contract, say in a reputable firm, or I would imagine like somebody would be so happy to have it documented on their CV that they once worked in the state house. I mean, if you have a very close tie with number one citizen in Finland, for example, the president or the prime minister, and you are maybe serving close in a close range, you are giving maybe some political or economic advice. You know how proud and fulfilled that work would be. Oftentimes, believers, we do not realize that preaching the gospel or witnessing is such a privilege and a very good work. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, we don't have time to read, but it says that if anyone desires the work of a bishop, in other words, if you want to work for God, you want to be a witness, he says it's a good thing. Oftentimes, people think that for you to go out there in the city center to preach the gospel, maybe you are some non-entity, never do well. Maybe you are such somebody that you know he's not qualified. But let's have a paradigm shift. Let's have some change in our mind that to work for God to be, is not because you can't find something else to do. No, people who God abused agreed or granted that they may come from a very low background because he is the qualified of the court. He can call anybody. But I want us to understand that he that desired the office of a witness, of a pastor, of a bishop, it's a good thing. It's a noble thing to do. And by the way, the call to be a witness is such a high call. It's such a holy call. It's such a heavenly call. And as such, it needs to be done the God's way. So you don't say, because I can speak grammar, because I've gone to ABC seminary, then that qualifies me. No, it has to be forgiven people who are saved already. And by the way, God is the one who equips the call. For example, when you look at the disciples, how varied their backgrounds were. Peter, for example, was a fisherman. You wouldn't have thought that there would be people who are, quote unquote, unexposed village fishermen, people who will be entrusted with works of salvation. But because this work is such a privileged work, God can call anybody from whatever background because he will qualify them himself. You know, he would equip them. We read already in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, after the power is come upon you, he's going to give them power. There have been people, even in contemporary times, they've not been, you know, exposed to formal education. But in the rural village, they have the Holy Spirit. And they are able to, you know, read the scripture in their local language. Never been trained, never gone to school, because God is the one who equips and empower those who are called. I know sometimes those who are called also and commissioned, they may have registered, inadequacy. We're going to get there in subsequent subheading. If you look at the life of Moses, Moses was given all the excuses in the world that he can be. He was educated. He was a potential head to be a Pharaoh. But when the call came, he had the excuse to give. Ah, me, I don't go. Pharaoh will be kill me. Too. I cannot speak, but I'm a stammerer. If I want to tell people, he got to a point, God was almost angry at him. He said, hey, everybody's your brother. He's going to be your mouthpiece. Amen. Whatever the case, the Lord equips and he covers up whatever inadequacy the called would have. And here I'm extending the call to you. And the Lord has called. I don't know what usually would take you back. When the announcement is made for corporate evangelism, you just find one excuse. Whatever the excuse, today we'll roll or put those all aside and be ready to do the work of the Lord.
Hello.
Please let's remain calm as we wait for Pastor to come back. I think Pastor's network is going up. Let us continue to meditate on what we have had already while we wait for Pastor to come back. Brethren, let's continue to meditate It's not a time to be distracted. It's such an important message. So let's continue to meditate on what we've had already. It's a call and a reminder for us that we need to go out. Let's continue to meditate on what we have had already as we wait for Pastor to come back. Pastor is going to be back shortly. Let's continue to meditate on what we have had already.
Brethren, please, I apologize. I noticed I've been off. Praise the Lord. Can we hear me, please?
Yes, Pastor, we can hear you now.
Oh, thank you very much. I apologize. I was wrapping up point number one when I was saying that the call is quite important. It is for all, regardless what your station or registered inadequacy may be. So we will go to point number two now, to now look in a rather deep form, fears and concern that frustrate witnessing. And what this means is that we want to look at potential excuses people can give, or what will make people not to witness. Maybe they want to do it or not. It is good that we know this thing. And if you know any of them in your life, you would be, you know, telling God to take such away from our life. And very quickly, I'll read from here, Luke chapter 14, verse 15. In Luke chapter 14, verse 15, the Bible says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard this thing, he said unto him, Blessed is he that eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, A certain man made great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things now are ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must need to go see it. I pray thee have me excused. The another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the street and lanes of the city, and bring in thither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind." In this parable, the Lord is telling us about potential excuse people will give. And it's so certain that some people allow the blessings and conveniences to hinder them from witnesses. What do I mean? Maybe you are here as a student. Before you came, you know, you told the Lord a lot of things. God, I'm going to Europe. If only you can give me this admission, give me this scholarship, or give me favor. Maybe when you applied, you were on a waiting list, and you are praying, oh God, when am I going to be admitted? And you promised heaven and earth. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to serve you. And truth to his word, truth to his promise, the Lord came through for you, and you arrive here. It is the blessing of the Lord, the open door the Lord has given unto you, that you are now using as a potential excuse for you not to preach the gospel. They call, they say, we are going to this city, not because you are busy, not because there's something that you just decided to stay back. Look at this point, this parable. It is the blessing of the Lord. I have married a wife. Praise the Lord. To marry a wife is a good thing. To get a scholarship is a good thing. One has bought, he has bought some oxen. He has bought a new land. Those blessings of the Lord are the same thing they are using to say, I cannot heed the call. I pray that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, you know the story. Jeremiah, when the call came, I'm going to use it from the mother's womb. You know, I am a child, though. I cannot speak, oh. And God had to, you know, allay his fear, the feeling of inadequacy. That, you know, you can do it. And I say to you, my brethren tonight, you can do it. Don't let the enemy be whispering in your mind. You know, the Lord gave you an opportunity in the metro, for example. Maybe it doesn't come always, but this one, you know, the Lord is laying in your heart. Go ahead and preach the gospel. I say, I cannot talk. Oh, my feelings is not that good. Oh, they will laugh at me. The Lord will be with us. Every feeling of inadequacy, the Lord will take away in Jesus' name. The same thing was for Moses. We mentioned earlier, when he was called, when the call came, he had to say, I cannot talk. I'm a stammerer. But those excuses he gave, they were not sufficient for him not to get the call. We are looking at this example so that you there, who you are, you potentially think like you have an excuse. In the case of Jeremiah, that excuse was not taken. In the case of Moses, it was not taken. Those excuses, they will not be taken. We need to rise up and become an effective witness for the Lord, and so shall it be in Jesus' name. Another, you know, cares and concern would be fear of failure. Can I do it? Hey, how can I preach the gospel? Hey, I would blow grammatical error. I am not that educated. It is only people who are pastor, people who have gone to seminary that can preach. No, brethren. You know, that woman at the well, it was just an encounter, and she knew this was the Christ. That was sufficient for her to go and witness. You don't need to have double degree to witness, brethren. In the case of, you know, Barak and Deborah, the call was straightforward. The Lord needed to deliver the children of Israel. And, you know, Barak was saying that, hey, I cannot do it, or I'll fail. Deborah, please come and follow me. All our fearful brothers, fearful Barak, today you are rising up. In the name of Jesus, either Deborah follow you or not, you will do the work in the name of Jesus. And sometimes there could be threats to life or ministerial difficulty. And this was the case of, you know, case of Elijah. A moment ago, he has done a phenomenal land-breaking reform, religious reform in the land. All the prophets of Baal have been killed. And shortly after, in my opinion, one of the you know, greatest challenge in his ministry arose. You know, this verse said that I am going to deal with you. And you know what? Elijah ran away. He sat on that juniper tree and said, Lord, just kill me. I'm not better than my father. You know, the ministry was difficult. Maybe you are here. You see how somehow you preach, or you see a member in the church, they do it over and over, and the result is not there. And because of that, you want to give up. No. Don't allow those cares and concern constrain you from witnessing. The Lord who came for all of these people in their lowest helps and offered them help, and they were able to witness, he will be with you as well in Jesus' name. So how was that problem solved? You know, the Lord momentarily did not even answer all his concerns and everything was saying. The Lord gave him food. So Elijah calmed down after he ate. And they were able to re-strategize, and he went back to witnessing. We're going to witness for the Lord in Jesus' name. But then, that could just be the outright disobedience. And I pray there is nobody on this call who fall into that category. People will just say that, I don't care. They are believers. But they just outrightly want to disobey. Or they begin to overthink some social, cultural, political situations that will make them not to preach the gospel. When we look at the case of Jonah, this is a perfect example. But the Lord told Jonah, go and be a witness to me. Please go to Nineveh. But he went the opposite direction. He went to Tarshish. That in itself, you know, some disobedience. But when you flip it up, you understand the thinking behind the action of Jonah. And maybe he was sent to was the city of Assyria. And at that time, Assyria were the people, the then known world. They were the one, you know, torturing children of Israel. They were, you know, the one abusing them. And these same people is the Lord has commanded for me to go and preach. He went another way. You know, I not that I'm trying to excuse the rebellion of Judah, but when you look at it from that angle, just take an example. If you have, for example, you have been in a place where there's a civil war or some insurgency, just for example, people who are familiar with the tension in northern Nigeria, for example, that, you know, the same set of bandits and criminals, their clan, their tribe, they have plundered your ancestral land and everything. And after everything, the Lord said, go and preach them. And, you know, some tension comes to your mind. That's exactly what happened. Hey, they are the people who are torturing us. Hey, they are not good people and all that. You know, those are the concerns you want to give not to preach the gospel. You know, you read the book of Jonah over and over. There's so much lessons you can learn. At the end of the day, with all his protest and everything, he went to preach the gospel after he was miraculously delivered from the whale. He just knew that, you know, power belonged to the Lord. And I appeal to you, if you are there today, you have some social, cultural, economic consideration you are looking at before you preach the gospel. Maybe you are saying that, I was espoused or betrothed to this particular tribe before. I was supposed to marry a Finn or a Nigerian before, and you know, it didn't work. That person betrayed my trust. So because of that, I'm not going to have anything to do with Nigerians, with Ghanaians, with Finnish. I cannot go to preach. Do not do that. At the end of the day, we'll be a useful witness in the hand of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. But then let's run very quickly and look at point number three. Number three, we want to look at compassion and commitment of forthright witnesses. So I've been saying that those fears and concerns, excuses will not do, we are to have compassion. Actually, the Bible gives us an example of our Lord Jesus Christ, our perfect pattern, who he in himself is an embodiment of passion and compassion. In Matthew chapter 9, I read from here from verse 36. Amen. Bible says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus saw beyond, he saw beyond what people could see. I don't know, they were there, maybe they didn't even realize they were fainting, they think they were good. And the same thing, the problem is, we just look at people, we do not attach eternity to them. They can be fantastic professional. Maybe they are colleagues at work, they are friends at school, they are thoroughbred professionals, they are humanly speaking, they are good people. But when you look over and above their secular calling, what do you see? Do you have compassion on them? Jesus Christ saw these people as they were. They were scattered like, you know, sheep without shepherd. Some people can see that and say, oh, that is independent. Who cares about shepherd? But brethren, what I'm trying to say is that we need to look beyond the physical thing we see in people. They could be a very thoroughbred professional. Thank God for that. They could be quote-unquote well-cultured, well-educated. But do we attach spiritual or eternal, you know, sight to them? Jesus was, he had compassion on them. And the same way we should see people in our neighborhood, people within our circuit who are not saved, we need to have compassion and be committed in witnessing to them. You know, understanding that the internal end of sinner, that it's going to be in hell, that should fear in us the commitment. I mentioned earlier about how Paul and his people, when they received that Macedonian call, they did not delay. They did not do dilly-dallying. They swept to action and go. That kind of, you know, commitment. And over time, after the first, you know, missionary exploit there, they made arrangement to see them again. Where he couldn't go, there would be a proxy that would go. You know, Paul was just all embodiment of commitment. And that's the same thing God wants for us. He wants us to be compassionate. As you see that person in school, as you see that person at place of work, in the neighborhood, at the park, just see them beyond your colleague. Have compassion on them and be committed to witnessing to them. The twin virtues of compassion and commitment should make us to actively engage in witnessing. And brethren, this is not going to be all talk. Let's look at practical ways of what we can do as a young one, as an adult, as an old timer, or an invited person. What can you do? Practical way to get, you know, compassion and commitment could be by participating in corporate church-organized evangelism. What do I mean? At least once in a month, we usually have, you know, the central corporate evangelism. Please don't stay back at the next call. Don't give excuse. We saw, you know, we could all give potential excuses. Hey, the place is far. I don't know the place. It's a Saturday. I could probably walk. I'll be tired. Next time there's a call for evangelism, a practical way to show compassion is to get involved, participate. Another thing is about personal evangelism or friendship evangelism. I totally understand. We need to understand our environment as we carry out witnessing. You know, it could be your colleague who he likes the me moment or the coffee time. If he wants you to have a coffee time together, that could actually be a means to, you know, get into personal talk, what they like, how's the family, and therefore witness them. Friendship evangelism, it could be a very good thing we need to do. In the church, we've been doing tract distribution, and it's such a wonderful thing that somebody who otherwise would not give you audience to talk, they could, if they are polite enough, you know, to accept something for you, you could have something, and you don't even have to read everything. It would just be the caption that will do the message. And we have, by the grace of God, some very good tracts. The content are very good, eternity, you know, amazing grace, something like that. Please, if you have not been involved, ask for tracts from your pastor. Have some copy in your bag. The opportunity can just be while you're traveling. Somebody, you can give it out. Those are practical ways we can get involved. Another way is invitation to church programs. Brethren, without any iota of doubt in my mind, I think we are super active church. However young and small in number we could be, I'm so proud of what, by the grace of God, we are doing. The every section, you know, we're having programs and everything. And these programs are means where we can witness to others. We can just invite them. At the global level, we have a monthly global crusade going on. And the Lord is using that program to solve, you know, a lot of problems for a lot of people and, you know, save soul. Please invite somebody. Tell them about what the Lord is doing. You know, we have nights of prayers. One Friday, where we pray for some 4 or 5 hours over the night, and it's a veritable tool for some people who have not tasted of the love and power of Jesus Christ to come and hear and pray. We have the prayer fest. Wherefore, uninterrupted 48 hours, we're just praying. Invite them over. For worship service, it could just be means where they will hear the word of God to change their life. And again, our young ones, thank God for, you know, the relatively active section you have. You have the music class going, you have the, you know, graphics class, mathematics, science class going. Tell your friend about what the Lord is doing. You know, they are coming to learn maths and graphics and coding and music, and, you know, they can hear the word of God as well. You know, I have a personal testimony. One of our brother in our location, apart from what he does, he's also a professional footballer. I think a couple of seasons ago, he happened to, you know, be the captain of his team, and he was to host them end of the year stuff. And he just called me and said, "Ah, Pastor, I'm organizing this. I'm inviting my friends over. Would you be okay for you to come around to preach them? Why not? It's an opportunity." We had a nice time in a very, very informal setting. You know, while we are, you know, eating and doing everything, you know, word of motivation and encouragement came. That's another way to actively be involved. Overall, brethren, the Lord wants us to be compassionate. Look for means to witness, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Point number four, very quickly, as we pray. Brethren, you may be thinking, how should I go through all this wahala and be preaching and be witnessing in and out of season? Hey, it is apart from the fact that it's commanded by the Lord, because it's a rewardable exercise. And the exercise is going to be here and thereafter. What do I mean? You know, the potential question you have in your mind that, how do I do all these things? What will be my reward? You are not alone. That same question has been asked many years ago. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, again, allow me to read from here. In verse 27, he said, "Then answered Peter and said unto him," maybe you too, you are wondering, "behold, we are forsaken all." Maybe you are saying, "Behold, all my weekends, it is just church. If we are not doing evangelism now, we have some seminar we are doing or some sessional program. Sunday I'm in church." Peter was almost saying the same thing. Okay, we are forsaking all. We have been witnessing. What do we even get in return? He said, "Behold, we are forsaking all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore?" And you know the answer Jesus gave. I just want Jesus to speak to you directly. If you are wondering that, is all this effort worth it? I'm here to tell you, yes, there is commendation and compensation for every single effort you put into witnessing. But which is it's not, you know, it's not going to be very hard not to reward your labor of love. Jesus said in verse 28, Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, you have witnessed, you have shed tracts, you are witnessing, like that young lady, you have told them that there's a God in Israel who can heal leprosy. You have done all this and follow me. He said, in regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging tribes of Israel. Verse 29 now, everyone, regardless you are young, you are the pastor, you are worker or just member, or you are inviting others to music class or to extramural class, whatever you are doing, he said, everyone that has forsaken houses, or or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and inherit everlasting life. Amen. You know, when you look at what the investment you do, sometimes you consider, is it worth it at the end of the day? Who will be my return on investment? You know, jokingly, sometime in church recently, we were just discussing about what would be a standard return on investment. I was asking a member, and one of us said, you know, I would like 50%. And everybody laughed in the church that, where are you going to get 50% for your assets? But long story short, what the Lord is promising is it beats the best of ROIs you can find outside. He said, you are going to have it in hundredfold, you are going to inherit eternal life. Brethren, I'm here to tell you that there is adequate reward for faithfulness in witnessing. If you witness for Jesus in this life and in eternity, you get it. There is crown of righteousness. You know, at some point, Paul the Apostle said, I fought the fight of faith. The good fight of faith, I finished my course. There is crown of righteousness laid for me. Brethren, Bible says that, you know, he that winneth soul is wise. And on a physical level, when actually you see the joy, those whose lives have been transformed through your witnessing is some form of reward. I bet that in the mind of that young maid, when he was able to convince the household to let his master Naaman go to Israel to get healing, I'm sure that everybody in the household will begin to respect her. She also will be joyful that through her witnessing, you know, the master has been cured. That joy, it can be satisfying. What am I telling you? It's that no effort you put into witnessing that is a waste. It's a beautiful investment, and you're going to reap every single effort to it. And I pray like Paul, who look back, whichever means the Lord wants to take us home, through rapture or death, we'll look back and said, we have fought a good fight of faith, and we'll get our crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing, and every single promise the Lord has given unto us in Jesus' name. But I believe we've had enough. Let's close our eyes and commit ourselves in the hands of the Lord. The Lord is still looking for witness. He's still looking for witnesses. Are you going to be available? Have you been given excuses? Like Moses, you are saying, I cannot speak, or I'm a stammerer. I don't have a degree. Who am I to go and preach? I don't know what excuse you've been given. It's a pity from the parable we heard. People are giving excuses, even from the blessings they've got. Is that your case? You know, you say, it is this I'm writing. Brethren, I'm not construing that you should abandon your work, your legitimate work. Please do your work. But don't let God's blessings, the convenience and comfort we have, to be the excuse you are going to give. You know, sometimes some of our pastors, when we meet to, you know, to pray and strategize, some reports we get from location is that at some point, members will say, I need a job. And pastor, we pray, look for everything. The job will come. The same job will make people not to come to church again. It's not supposed to be. Brethren, the Lord is nudging your heart today. Will you be a witness to me? He said, witnessing in season and out of season. Don't only be that when it is convenient. You don't have anything to do. That's only when you're going to consider, you know, witnessing. When, you know, They call for evangelism. You would be the one that, I don't want people to see me in city center. How would they want to see me with Bible? Paul the Apostle say, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. Brethren, what you are doing, the tract you are sharing, the proclamation you are making in the city center, the microphone, you do it in the cold. All those you are doing is the power of God unto salvation. It is a means by which people will get saved. So don't be ashamed, you know, and the Lord records it. The time you have to defile the codes, how you have to be cold, you have to journey hours. The Lord is registering. You want to say, Lord, I am going to witness. Convenient or not, I am going to witness. Pastor, please, you can please take it off. In the name of Jesus.
Let us continue to pray and commit ourselves into the hands of God. Remember the parable Jesus talked about, that servant who was given a single talent. Some of us are like that servant. You are going to ask God tonight and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the long period of neglect. Remember, this was the last wish. You know, these days we talk about the last wish of a dying father. The last wish of our Lord Jesus, the last message he passed on to us as disciples. If you go and check all the places where this was reported, all the account of his ministry has ended. He has died, and it was after he resurrected. He reminded his disciples. He said, go ye into all the world. He even asked Peter, lovest thou me more than this? Brethren, you cannot claim to love the Lord, and yet you are not preaching the gospel. You are going to open your mouth. You are going to tell the Lord. Don't be like that servant who told the master, I know you are a wicked man. You reap where you did not sow. Are you telling the Lord the same thing? Why not commit yourself into the hands of God and tell the Lord sorry for the period you have refused to preach? Tell the Lord, because fortunately, by the grace of God, the rapture has not happened. So you still have opportunity to make amends. Why not commit yourself into the hands of God? Peter, Jesus asked him the question the first time, the second, and the third time. He got agitated. Lord, are you doubting my commitment? He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. The Lord is telling you the same thing today. If truly you love me, if truly you are a Christian, if truly I have purchased you with my blood, if truly you are, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if you look at his ministry while he was here on earth, our Lord Jesus did not place anything to be more important than evangelism. So many of us who have been here 1 year, 2 years, even the general evangelism that we all go out together, you have never participated once. Are you not going to tell the Lord today? Some of us will always have excuses. Remember what Jesus said. Some of those servants said, let me go and bury my dead. Let me go and attend to my family. That tells you that, you know, a lot of people have always had the excuse right from time. But Jesus said none of these excuses is cogent enough. There is no amount of excuse you have that is cogent enough. You can make time for your work. You can make time for your personal need. And for years, you have not for once made time to go out and preach the gospel. There are people in your places of work who do not know the Lord. There are people in your household who do not know the Lord. There are those who are connected to you one way or the other who do not know the Lord. Why not open your mouth and begin to pray? Look at what the leper said. When there was famine in Samaria, and you know, when the Lord intervened to make provision for food for the people, the lepers would have tarried. They would have had the excuse that these people cast us out. Why would we go and give them this good tidings? But they said, no, we cannot stay here so that nothing evil happens. Let's go at once and inform the king of what has happened. And they ran. That is the way the Lord expects you to run. You are going to pray tonight and say, Lord, empower me. You are going to pray tonight and say, Lord, give me power. The Bible said the 72 returned and they came back with testimony. Some of us, you know, that job you have been looking for. Some of us, you know, that thing you have been asking the Lord for. The key to opening it up might be going out to preach the gospel. Partial obedience will not bring the blessing of God. You might have given your life to Christ and have repented, but you are not obeying this command to go out and preach the gospel. It is able to lock the key. It has the key to open several doors. Evangelism has the key to open a lot of doors. Remember what the Lord Jesus said. You know, the Spirit of God made it clear. He said, those that will be ashamed of me here on earth, are you one of them? Evangelism is for pastors. Are you one of them who would say evangelism is for workers? Are you one of them who will say evangelism is for those that have time? But for me, I do not have time. I can tell you for sure that being ashamed of God here on earth, the Bible said, I will also be ashamed of you. You might discover that the Lord is not happy with you. Why not open your mouth and begin to pray? Why not open your mouth? I had someone recently say that an atheist who do not believe in the existence of God said, if truly, that the danger the believers or the Christian talk about of people going to hell is real, then it means their attitude to evangelism will be different. You are going to ask the Lord today and say, God, stir me up. Give me that inner push. Give me the strength. Give me the grace. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord. The Bible says, in season and out of season, like we have been told. The Bible says, be instant in season and out of season. Yes, you might have excuses that they, well, some people are rejecting it. Like we went out evangelism last week, Saturday, some of the children came and they say, Pastor, but some of these people, when we give it to them, they don't accept it from us. I say, that is exactly how it is sometimes. No wonder the Bible said instant in season, because at times nobody will receive it. At times they will reject it. Instant in season and out of season. Why not open your mouth and pray? Remember, some people tarried. Some people made effort. Some people prayed. Even if they did not come to preach to you, maybe in your case you say, oh, I had the word of God directly from the Lord. But remember, some people tarried and participated and made effort to get you converted. Some people held forth. Some people continued to hold the fire. That was why you were delivered. Are you going to be selfish to remain silent? You are going to ask the Lord and say, Lord, help me. You know, when Peter went with the disciples, he said, I go a fishing. Maybe you are still fishing. Tell the Lord today, if you look at what happened with Peter, they went a fishing, they toiled all night, they didn't get anything. That's key. That key is in your hand now. Ask the Lord and say, Lord, I have tarried so long. I am going to arise. I am going to preach the gospel. I am going to go to places where, Lord, I've not been to before. Personal evangelism, corporate evangelism, group evangelism, church evangelism. Why not open your mouth and begin to pray? You don't have to wait until pastor call you. You don't have to wait until anybody call you to ask. You don't have to wait until it is corporate evangelism. The Bible says that wherever you are, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. And when we talk about evangelism, it is not only with word of mouth. Some of us, you know, the way they know you in that place where you work, did they know you as a talkative? Did they know you as someone who is always quarrelsome? I cannot take it. You know who I am, my personality, my dad. You are not doing what Jesus asked you to do. You are going to pray tonight because there are so many ways you can preach to others. When they look at your life, they look at the way you comport yourself, whatever the kind of dresses you wear. Are you preaching the gospel with your appearance? Some of us here, we are so arrogant, we are so determined, if it is not what the world have said. In fact, you see those musicians out there, you see those unbelievers out there who do not even retain God in their heart, their way of dressing, their dress pattern, what is in vogue, it is more important to you than the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you preaching the gospel with your appearance? Are you preaching the gospel with your relationship with others? Yes, he offended me. I want to slap him. We will fight and we will do. I will show you who I am. That is not the message the Lord sent you. Because people are looking at you. The Bible says you are the Bible they are reading. They want to see Jesus through you. Why not open your mouth this morning? Perhaps in your case, you say, but I've been preaching. It may not be only preaching. What do people around talk about you? What do they say? They can say whatever. It's not true. They didn't say like that about Jesus. They didn't talk about like that about the early disciples. You are going to ask the Lord and say, Lord, in this area, in that area, because you need to preach the gospel with everything that is within you. You need to preach the gospel with every aspect of your life. In that place where you walk, people should be able to know that you're a believer. In that place where you live, your neighbors should know that you're a believer. Through your word, through your comportment, through everything that concerns you. Like our pastor have told us today, there is a reward. The Bible said, I stand. Jesus is saying, my reward is in my hand. But are you going to receive it from the Lord? Or are you going to be one of those that the Lord will look at and say, I do not know you? He said, on that day, judgment will start in the church. Many will come and they say, I was there at the revival service. I was a member of the Deeper Light Bible Church. I attended Tuesday Bible study. I was there on Sunday service. I even sang in the choir. I even worked as a worker, as a pastor. I pray that will not be your lot. And Jesus will say, I've never seen you. Everything you were doing, you didn't do what I asked you because you are not preaching the gospel, because you have not done that which is expected of you. Why not open your mouth and begin to pray? Remember that some people, if you look at the case of some people in the scripture, you know, they offended God. The Bible says, he that knoweth what is good to do, that which is right. And what is that thing that is right? To save those who are going to die. And you do it not. The Bible says to him, it is counted as a sin. Don't say, Pastor, but I don't need evangelism. You need it. Evangelism is as important as the salvation of your soul. Because you are saved to serve. Go and look at the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 74 and 75. The Bible made it clear there that the reason the Lord has delivered it is so that we can serve him. How else can you serve him? What better way can you use to serve the Lord if you are not preaching the gospel? As a believer, you have to ask the Lord, I cannot disobey. Partial obedience is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. You know it is the appropriate thing to do, to go out and preach the gospel. I am not saying that your salvation is not enough to save, but what I'm saying is paraventure. The Lord will not be happy because you have refused to do that for which he died. You have refused to tell others. Remember what the Bible said, if I want a sinner, if I see that wicked person, and as a watchman, I send you to one that sinner, and you refuse to want that sinner, and the sinner die in his or her sin. The Bible said, his blood I will require from your hand. The Lord can require the blood of your neighbors. The Lord can require the blood of your co-workers. The Lord can require the blood of those in your city from your hand, because he has given you power. You have had the message. Ask the Lord today, why would you want to take the blood of those who are out there in your hand? It is mandatory and necessary for us to go. He said, go ye into all the world. Tell the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I need to go out and preach. I know you might be saying, well, Pastor, are you not being too hard? No, but this is the scripture. The Bible said, if I give them warning, and the warning has been coming from the Lord, tell them to desist from their sin, and you refuse to do it. If they die in their sin, their blood I will require from your hand. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, I am ready to go. Henceforth, oh Lord, I will go. Many Christians today are neglecting evangelism for other things. That is not proper. Why not open your mouth as you have heard? Our pastor have told us this evening that the Lord is commanding you. The Lord is expecting you to do so. The Lord is waiting for you. Look at what he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, as we read. He said, you know, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every nation. It is a command. It is a command. And when you do not do it, it clearly shows you are disobedient. Tell the Lord, maybe your case is fear. Maybe your case is the fact that you feel you do not know the adequate scripture enough to go and preach. Tell the Lord, remember, it is not you that will save the soul, but the Lord is only sending you. Just like he sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch to join the chariot. You have to open your mouth, you have to pray. And say, Lord, equip me, Father. And say, Lord, I am sorry for the times of disobedience. Oh, Lord, I am going to go. Open your mouth and pray and say, Lord, help me. Open your mouth and say, Lord, henceforth, I am going to preach the gospel. This message you might have had before, but I'm explaining it to you tonight, that the Lord will not leave you unaccounted for if you refuse to go and do it. Therefore, open your mouth and say, Lord, help me. Monthly evangelism, you have been avoiding it, you have not been going, and you think pastor is not pushing you. Pastor does not need to push you. The Lord is commanding you to go. The Lord is challenging you to go. The Lord is telling you tonight, you have to go back. You have to go. Peter left it. Hence, imagine, after Jesus had resurrected, he came back again to remind Peter, this was not what I asked you to do when I left. And the same thing in your case, what did Peter go to do? He went to work. And that, I mean, some of us will say there is nothing wrong in going to work. He went to work and Jesus asked him, do you love me more than your work? Do you love me more than your food? Do you love me more than just going to catch fishes and feed your family? Do you love me more than this? Express that love by going out. Feed my sheep, feed my lamb. The Lord is telling you the same thing today. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, help me? Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, help me? I want to evangelize. Some of us, you know, those days, I remember when I was a young Christian in the bus, I will always do it on my way to work. I will see, you know, preach in the bus, preach everywhere. Some of us now, you know, that first love, that first unction, that first desire is no longer, you know, that push. I can remember those days that it was so difficult to travel a distance in the bus without preaching the gospel. You are going to open your mouth and say, Lord, hold my hands, dear Lord. Oh, Lord, I have a long way to go. Give me the grace, oh God, to discover that first love, that first call. Like the 72 that went out, I mean, they went out enthusiastically and they went to preach the gospel. The Lord is depending on you. The Lord is depending on me. Remember, the scripture said that the Lord's coming will not happen until the scripture is preached. Are you going to be delaying the coming of the Lord? Are you going to be delayed? Remember, if you don't do it, the Lord will raise other people to do it. But never forget that failure to do it is disobedient to the word of God. Tell the Lord to use you. In Jesus' mighty name, we'll pray. Let's begin to worship God. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for everything he has done. Thank God for the message. Thank him because he's able to strengthen you. In Jesus' mighty name, we'll pray. Father, we thank and bless you for having reminded us of the Great Commission. Thank you because this was the heartbeat of our Lord Jesus and the main reason for which he came. Thank you because you have spoken to us and the words are clear. Lord, in any way we have failed in the past, we are sorry. We're asking, oh God, that henceforth, having received this challenge this evening, you would help us to launch out. And as we go out, oh God, we pray, put your words in our mouth. Grant us the power and help us that the words we will speak will not be ours. And as the scripture said, the harvest is plenteous, they are ripe. Lord, I pray you will lead us to those souls that are ready and you would help us by all means to win them in Jesus' name. For our pastor, you have used to speak to us this evening. Lord, I pray you replenish his strength. As we continue, Father, as a church, continue with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you have answered. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for coming for this meeting. Before we